we're keeping it simple tonight. We're doing an Ask Me Anything, even though it's an Ask Us Anything. So if you got any questions for us, now's the time to do it. Welcome to Chatooine. So this is what it's become. This is what Chatooine has boiled to.
I got a question for the panel. How is everyone doing today?
Fantastic. It's fine
until you ask me that question.
Yeah.
Now you made me think about all my issues and problems, and I don't know. Now I'm not going to be able to continue now. Thank you, Gold.
Yeah, you know, I've been having a rough go at it. People on Twitter, man, like they just keep coming after me for like any Star Wars take ever. I feel really bad.
Good job.
Dude, I'm gonna encourage it. Every time you have a take I disagree with, I'm gonna comment so all my followers see and then harass you.
I appreciate it. It gives me engagement. You know,
you gotta quote tweet it. You'll get more.
Exactly. I almost regret making my Twitter account like only my takes instead of like just kind of like how Star Wars stuff does their thing. It's just like the news or whatever. Like I've done that on Instagram for years and I just stopped and I'm like, oh man, it's almost more hassle to deal with people and your takes and your honesty than it is to report on like the media stuff. I don't know if you guys saw like all the influencers going. Well, yeah, I think we talked about last night, like all the influencers going to Galaxy's Edge to the Star Cruiser thing. Oh boy, I saw that. I think Goldman, did you send that video from Reddit? What did it show? Was that like the lady dancing? Because I saw one clip of like people in the restaurant.
Yeah.
It
was the same song as the trailer. Yeah.
It looks pretty cheap from that view alone, honestly. Like people were saying it's different with the concept designs. I imagine it's a lot different in person, but I do find it interesting that that's kind of like a narrative going around right now, is that like it's a lot of these like unique media influencer people that are able to go to the hotel.
Yeah, I find it weird how like they didn't invite like Star Wars Explained, Star Wars Theory, you know, the big guys and stuff.
They're not inviting Star Wars Theory.
They're not going to invite Star Wars Theory. No. Yeah, but even Explained, I'm surprised Explained didn't have any sort of thing. I mean, Eckhart Slider. I mean, there's a lot of people who genuinely had an influence on the fandom. And
well, you got to think this is different than Lucasfilm. This isn't a Lucasfilm thing. This is true. Disney. Disney is a very and you guys, I mean, you guys have seen it like. I've had mild experiences with like the media aspect of like Lucasfilm and Disney PR stuff. And it's a whole nother world. And you almost have to pay your dues and Disney does not reward any criticism at all. Normally when it comes to like the PR stuff. And so it's, I think it's a fine line. People have to, so I'm curious what the reviews are even going to say, like even with these influencers, like genuinely, I know they're going to kind of upsell, but like what they would have to say about this hotel.
I've seen a lot of people upset, like just influencers that they didn't get invited. I've seen a lot of people.
No, you got to get it. You got to get over that stuff quick.
Yeah. It's like, nah, it's.
I'm going to make a video crying, being like, how dare they not invite me?
This is, what does he say? This is outrageous. It's unfair.
Honestly.
How can you do this?
Just like take it to level 10. You're like, you know, I put in for a Make-A-Wish. I'm not dying, but I put in for a Make-A-Wish to go to the hotel.
I got the 9. Oh, no.
Oh, man. Well, like we said, if you have any questions for us today, this is Ask Us Anything. You have any questions for the Chatooine panel, please put it in the live chat. I have a few from the community tab that I put up earlier that I think wouldn't be a bad idea to start out with so you guys can get some time to catch up, even though my phone's not loading half of them. That's great. The first question is from DJ Montgomery. He says, why will you always love Star Wars?
It's a good question.
That's a good starting one. Steep. Yeah.
Who wants to go first? I guess we're going to go around the table like usual.
Yeah,
exactly.
Fine with me.
So when we go around the table, meaning starting with me, or are you going to start Star Wars?
Oh, fuck. I'll start and make it simple. The question is, why will you always love Star Wars? I think for me, I think it's a lot of people are going to say it's like a childhood thing, and it's hard to kind of let go of something like that. It makes you always just kind of like a little nostalgic. The stories are really cool. The universe is always like very interesting. I feel like I have that for like a lot of IP and franchises, like, you know, Middle Earth, all of Tolkien's work. Like, that's really fun and engaging. I'm always going to be a fan of that. I'm always going to love it. Even if like the new stuff isn't something I enjoy as much, I'm always going to love the original books, the movies, and it's something I don't think it's going to be hard to fall out of love with. And so I think it's the same thing for Star Wars, but it's a little bit more course, because I have a Star Wars YouTube channel, we talk about it all the time. It just seems like there's like limitless possibilities, and that's what makes Star Wars really interesting. It's also kind of a passion thing. It got me really interested in going into the film industry and learning more about like the behind the scenes stuff, and just kind of a different, unique view on the world than I think I would have without Star Wars. I think I'd be a different person without it. So I'm always going to love it for that reason. But what do you got, Lunga?
Well, for me, see, I'm old, but my parents, being a child of immigrants, what this Star Battles? What's this shit? We're not taking you to movie theaters to watch this stuff. We don't know what it was. So I didn't get to see my very first Star Wars thing. I got to see was Return of the Jedi in theaters, because at that point I was old enough, and my friend's parents took me to go see it. So I actually had to watch in reverse. I watched Return of the Jedi first, and then like a year later, another friend had the laser discs or whatever, so I watched the Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back, so I saw it in reverse order. I saw Jedi first and then the other two. But other than Saturday morning cartoons, Star Wars was my first introduction into epic story, you know what I mean, if you will, where I was a storytelling these epic tales, and it was in this fantastical world outside of Earth, you know, and what we know, and the lightsabers and the Force and stuff like that. So it gave me this, it was my first early impressions of epic tales, and it's just been burned into me. So everything that I love now when it comes to sci-fi, fantasy, all these kind of stories all started with Star Wars. So it's just an indelible mark on my psyche at this point.
Yeah, nice. For me, I think it really comes down to, for me, it's, I look at it from, no matter where the story goes, no matter where, say the next 20 projects in Star Wars are absolutely horrible, I'm being real down in here, and say they just all suck and I don't like anything about them, I still like everything, most of the things before that, and no matter what happens, I will always have an appreciation for what those stories did for me, not only as a child, but even now. I mean, it like got me into fulfilling a dream I've always wanted to do, which is simply make videos on YouTube, which may sound silly, but you know, growing up, it was a thing I always wanted to do. Not only have the stories really inspired me and helped me grow and all that, there's a lot we can learn from these stories. So no matter where they go from here on out, not to say that they're all going to be bad, because I don't think that's the case at all, but just to be like on a real negative point of view, say they are all horrible, well, I still love everything before it. No matter what happens with them in the future, I still have that appreciation for them.
I would say
the
generational
thing makes me laugh. You said, what? Growing up, I always wanted to make videos, the generational thing. You're like, growing up, I've always wanted to make YouTube videos. Obviously, there was no YouTube when I was a kid. It was literally like me and my friend had a double deck cassette player, and we wanted to be like Dr. Demento radio host.
I've heard a lot of DJs like that. Yeah.
All right. So for me, I would say there's a two-part answer. The first part is simply just the movies themselves, even with each trilogy. Like the original trilogy, I think, are three wonderful, beautiful films. So I can always watch and enjoy them. The prequels, even though I may not like them as much, they always hold a special place in my heart because I grew up with them. So I can kind of channel that inner nostalgia, just like watching it as a 10-year-old and stuff like that. I can always have that memory. And then with the sequels, I spent so much time, you know, defending them on YouTube, and I genuinely love two of them. So in that respect, all of the 9 main films, I love each one in a specific way. So I will always appreciate those 9 films, and it doesn't matter what the spinoffs do, because I have those 9 films and nothing can take those 9 films away from me. And the other aspect of it is kind of what Star Wars gave me as a child. I don't know how many times I must have rewatched Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith on loop over and over again. Vivid memories of just playing with Legos. I remember I used to have 2 Lego battle droids for the longest time. And then one time I got God, I don't know what the name of the ship is. I think it's the AT-T. It's like the droid ships in the Phantom Menace that deployed like 20 battle droids at once. Doesn't matter. But I got one of those Legos, and I got all these like Lego battle droids, and I was so excited. Or my friends and I playing with lightsabers, just having these lightsaber fights. So it's all these memories that were created because of Star Wars. And I guess that's just the inner nostalgia in me, that I will never forget those memories. So I would say those two reasons, just the movies themselves and memories the franchise has created for me, are why I love this franchise so much, and I probably always will.
Do you guys feel like starting out like on YouTube and whatnot, or maybe for me, like the Disney era of Star Wars kind of like helped you fall a little bit more in love with it? I saw people talking about this on Twitter the other day, and I definitely talked about this in my tweet about like Rian Johnson, and but mainly like the hype that Star Wars had between 2014 and 2016. I really feel like for me, because that's, I think I started my channel in 2016 and I loosely uploaded, but I really started doing Instagram kind of my early years of high school. And so I've always kind of been involved with the Star Wars fandom, at least through Instagram and through that platform. So I had a way of kind of being engaged with it. But I really felt like my love for it had a not faded away, but like it was kind of different before Disney had bought Star Wars. And then once like the hype for The Force Awakens started building and we kind of knew that like there was going to be more films and we're going to enter a new era, it was kind of intoxicating to like fall back into like love with Star Wars and feel like it was a fun and new generation. Did that change like doing this stuff? Because for me, I was active in the fandom and I was seeing people's reactions, and I remember back when like people had all these theories about Rey from The Force Awakens that like are wild to look at today. And so looking back at that, I'm like, man, like it's kind of a fun nostalgia, but I fell in love with it again and have a new fond appreciation of it because of me doing YouTube and me doing Instagram. Did that happen for you guys with you guys doing these channels?
I mean, like for me, when I started a channel, I started mine literally in the midst of the fallout. Goldman, I think, is in the same category. The midst of the fallout of The Last Jedi leading into the leaks and all the stuff going into Rise. And that's when I started my channel. And at the time, I was thinking about trying to do only Star Wars, but I really realized I can't just do just this. But I got into doing it because it was like, when The Last Jedi happened, I could say a lot of my sentiment was very in line with a lot of people in The Phantom Menace. I was very annoyed. I was like, what the hell? But I did like focus my criticism on writing, on plot, on issues with that. Not the subjective Star Wars. It was a little bit of the subjective Star Wars stuff. That's not my Luke Skywalker. But it was mostly, you know, just what I felt was bad writing, you know, and can they fix this? Can they do better? And then shortly after that, at the beginning, I noticed a lot of people had the same kind of tact. But then it slowly devolved into this whole woke thing and everything is being woke and all this other stuff. And by the time we were getting close to Rise of Skywalker, I got sick of that. I'm like, okay, no, this is nuts, guys. You're losing your mind. So I tried to make a channel to where I could say, hey, listen, we can still criticize the things we don't like, but let's try to keep it as objective as we can while we're talking about it. And that's what was my goal when I did it. And I will say, after doing this for a while now with Star Wars and other stuff, I have realized that I have become even more critical than I used to be previously. I used to be able just to shut my mind off, watch stuff, and be like, yeah, whatever. But I've started to look at things with a lot more critical eye. But it hasn't hurt my fandom. I mean, I still love Star Wars. I still look forward to new things because in my mind is like, I don't do this. Oh, I can't trust Disney. They're never going to give me anything I like, because that would have been a complete outright lie, because I love The Mandalorian and there's a lot of things that I have liked. So, you know, I'm always excited to see what's coming next, and I'll pick and choose. Do I like this? Nah, throw it out. Do I like this? Yes, I'll stick with this, but it's not hurting my fandom or anything.
Can you repeat the question? Is the question like after the buyout of Disney, has our love for Star Wars gone up? Or
I guess like just you doing this as like a kind of a side hobby and a job YouTube with it. Like I mean, that conveniently was after the Disney purchase. Right. And also like Lungo was saying, I definitely remember like kind of coming up with The Last Jedi hate. Like that's kind of when I gained popularity on YouTube. So it's kind of a unique way to look back at it. But
yeah, for me, I think mine's kind of different. I came onto YouTube on my other channel with Battlefront. And so, you know, I got really close to a lot of the developers on there and a lot of people working on the game. It was a lot of fun. I was able to have some impact on what content was brought into the game. And so that, like, you know, that was throughout my high school years. And so that was one of the best times, you know, in my life that I will always remember, is just having that sort of impact on the game and just to look back and say, hey, I got to do something a little bit. It's great stuff. You know, obviously growing up with the prequels, I loved them as a kid. Revenge of the Sith, I had that thing replaying over and over again. I freaking love that movie. But I won't deny that Star Wars wasn't getting stale for me. It was getting a little stale. It was getting, okay, I just have to keep rewatching the same movies over and over again. Even with the Clone Wars show, I remember as a kid, I don't want to say I disliked it. I simply didn't really got into it. I preferred watching the prequel movies over the show. So for me, I just didn't have much content going on. And so when the buyout happened as someone who actually does pretty much like the sequel trilogy overall, I have strong thoughts and problems with them, don't get me wrong, but I really like, especially episode 9, having Force Awakens to The Last Jedi to Rise come out. I mean, that sparked my love for this franchise to a whole other level, and it's stayed there continuously, despite some issues we've had throughout it and some problems I've had. I don't think, like Lunga said, I'm not going to like every single thing they bring out, and I don't like all the decisions they made, but the content that they're bringing out, I'm very much looking forward to, and I'm happy in the direction Lucasfilm is going, is what I'm saying. They made plenty of mistakes with the sequels, and I think Lucasfilm was looking back on them, reflecting on them, and saying, okay, we messed up in here, let's see what we can do to fix this and make it, kind of make the path better. So, and in the eyes of a fan, as I am, I can't be any happier with that decision that it seems they're doing, and I just hope the stories continue on, and I just hope the content stays good, and so far it's looking that way. So yeah, for sure, I'm very happy as a fan after that buyout.
I would say starting the Gold Man definitely further enhanced my love for the franchise. And fun fact, I made my first video exactly 2 years ago today. So the Gold Man is 2 years old, which is kind of
congratulations.
Crazy.
I saw that video on my feed, yeah.
So, I just lost my train of thought. Oh, yes. So, the reason why it's made me more appreciative and more loving of Star Wars is because I predicated my channel off of defending the sequel trilogy. And it wasn't that there were no criticisms of it. Of course, there are. But I thought, this tends to happen a lot when something's widely hated, where you'll dislike something and then you'll find these nitpicks and make them so huge. And I thought there were so many dumb and stupid criticisms of the sequels. So I made a lot of my channel based off of addressing those criticisms or just saying why I love certain things. And when you spend so much time talking about how much you love something or you spend so much time defending something, you're going to end up appreciating it more. So definitely YouTube has made me appreciate Star Wars a lot more.
Yeah, I want to jump in there because I think that's one thing that me and Goldman are really similar on, at least with my new channel, is that's exactly what I kind of founded my channel upon. That's kind of my current fan base. That's where they came from is me making some video essays and basically explaining why this aspect of the sequel trilogy isn't that bad. It actually works really well. And so like I try and come up, obviously most stuff I talk about is from a subjective point of view, but I try and throw in those objectives where it's like, no, this lines up pretty well and this makes sense for this character or X, Y, and Z. So I think me and Goldman are pretty similar, but I agree with him. Like being able to break down these stories and really write out a whole 8-page essay or whatever, it makes you yourself like, man, I really like this. It's so much more fun rewatching the film or whatever, or seeing that part that you talked about. So yeah, definitely.
All right. This next question is from Jed Jensen, funny name. Which was the worst year for Star Wars, 2018 or 2021? If I had to pick, man, I'm going to say 2018. that was a pretty fucking bad year. I mean, 2021, at least we got like Book of Boba started at the end of the year. We had Star Wars Visions. We had,
The Bad Batch.
I was trying to think of it. Yeah, we had The Bad Batch. How dare I forget Lungo's favorite show. But it didn't hit. Don't get me wrong. It was not a amazing year. It kind of was
awful.
I don't know. It felt mid and it felt disappointing, but it didn't really feel bad. Like 2018, like, dang, I remember leaving that year and thinking, I don't know if Star Wars is going to make it. Like, that was rough. That was a rough time to be a fan. And I have a lot of I think my big issue is I have a lot of regrets looking at 2018. Like, even as myself as a person, I was like, I was definitely younger. I think I had just gotten out of high school because I graduated in 2017, which is wild to think that it's been 5 years now and I'm still fucking young as hell. But, like, looking at that time, man, like, we were all toxic on The Last Jedi, YouTube. I mean, looking back at like some of the videos that I made and like even the people like I hung out with on YouTube, I was just kind of like, man, like I don't share the same sentiment with a lot of these people anymore. And seeing like how things have completely changed since then. I think 2018 had a very negative impact on Star Wars as opposed to 2021. And 2018, you're going to get the aftermath of The Last Jedi. But you also had Solo Star Wars Story. But wasn't that it? Like what else came out that year?
News about episode 9.
The trailer episode 9 was in 2019.
No. I'm saying like the news about JJ was at the end of at the end of 2017, right?
Yeah.
And so we had to deal with that in 2018 as well.
2018 had there was the trailer for the Clone Wars that was coming back. That was like the most exciting thing that happened that year.
That's a good point.
For me, 2019 was the worst, to be honest. I know he gave options 2018 or 2021.
What? Hot take, man. Hot take.
Listen, I'll tell you why. Explain, I'll tell you why.
Explain.
Because while 2018 had a lot of explosion after, you know, it was a whole fallout from The Last Jedi, 2019 still had the fallout of The Last Jedi and a buildup to Rise, and all it was so vitriolic leading up to that movie. There was so, and then when the leaks came out, it got even worse. It was just
getting the Mandalorian.
Dude. It was bad. I'm sorry, but it was bad. It was just the whole feel. Like I said, when we say what's worse, it's saying, oh, what content we got? Yeah, but for me, as a Star Wars fan, 2019 was the worst because it was such a morass around being a Star Wars fan in 2019. It was just, it was not fun. It was constant arguing, constant, you know, not uncertainty, and it was just...
You didn't have fun with, like, Jedi Fallen Order coming out, like, the Mandalorian. Like, personally, I remember being willfully ignorant in the sense of I was excited for Rise of Skywalker, so I was kind of fine with, like, the hype going from that. I loved going to Celebration in 2019. I mean, that's one of the highlights of the year for me, even though it was kind of a... I told someone on... today about, like, you know, when I went there, people were kind of still excited for Episode 9. They were really most people I met were disappointed with The Last Jedi, but they were still really, like, excited for the future of Star Wars. So it definitely had a different vibe in terms of, like, the hype for Rise of Skywalker wasn't entirely there. And like you said, it was kind of vitriolic, and a lot of people were just upset in general still. And it did become kind of a culture war thing just to be a fan or excited about anything.
People were still bitching about Mandalorian. I mean, don't you remember? Let's not forget.
Yeah.
Ah, Cara Dune is that was a pretty whoa, small. God, she was horrible.
That was very. No. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No, it was small. It's a YouTube only thing. That yeah. There's not many things that I say are exclusive to YouTube. I say that is like an exclusive only to YouTube thing because for the most part, I mean, I feel like a lot of people were really excited for The Mandalorian. They really liked Jedi Fallen Order. I mean, having all of this in a short window, and I think we had the High Republic announcement.
Galaxy's
that was in
Edge.
2020.
Can we talk about Galaxy's Edge?
Galaxy's Edge did come out in August of that year as well. So I feel like 2019, I mean, yeah, personally can be different, but like in general for Star Wars,
big heavy wet blanket over all that good stuff. There was a big heavy wet.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But
even
I still
me.
Think that's.
Like even for me, someone as who loved like The Last Jedi, yeah, there was not that much excitement for The Rise of Skywalker, but it didn't seem so vitriolic and hate-induced as it did with 2018. I think a lot of people were just either, yes, there's the certain sect of the fandom that was always just going to attack Episode 9, but even then, they kind of just, there was no really backlash to Episode 9 as much. They kind of just talked about it, they hated it, and then moved on. Whilst with The Last Jedi, they really talked about it for a while. So, and 2019, dude, you know, like getting excited for Fallen Order. Every Star Wars celebration for me is just exciting. So I guess maybe just because I didn't hate the Rise of Skywalker or The Last Jedi, so it wasn't as bad. But no, 2018 was easily worse than 2021. Easily. Because 2018 just had a negative vibe. While 2021, we just were waiting for stuff. It's like, oh, nothing happened. And 2018, we're just like, ugh.
We were kind of waiting for 2022, all of 2021, because it was a pandemic and everything. We were like, all right, everything's going to happen in 2022. We're going to get all these shows. And we kind of knew that. So I do think that's one of the reasons 2021 was definitely better than 2018. But what about you, Palpmames? Which would you pick?
Yeah, I'll reflect on Lunga's point about 2019, but obviously for me, 2018. I remember specifically being a fan. Now, it was an interesting time. It was actually even worse for me being a Battlefront YouTuber, because 2018 was a pretty awful year if you want to be a Battlefront fan, because that was, we got every day, it seemed like we got news about developers leaving, developers being moved to the next Battlefield game, this and that, so many delays for all the content updates. So not only could I not explain why I liked this little aspect of Episode 8 and get without getting yelled at and be raided by a bunch of people, but also as a content creator for Battlefront, I couldn't really make content for Battlefront 2 because there was no content coming out, and that's what my entire channel is based around. So 2018, personally, it sucked, man. But then because we didn't get a Rise of Skywalker trailer until 2019, did we?
Correct. Yeah, Celebration.
Yeah, so I mean, definitely 2018. As for 2019, Lunga, I'm literally on the opposite end. That's been my favorite year for Star Wars ever. I mean, ever. It's every
Mando was November. I mean, we had the 10 whole, months of
Rise of Skywalker
nonsense.
Was December, Mandalorian, Galaxy's Edge, Fallen Order, Battlefront 2.
Yeah, but a majority of the conversation in 2019 was the lead up to Rise of Skywalker.
I think it came out. I think it fun. It was very fun. I think it comes down to me. I loved the film so much that I just kind of blocked out people who were trying to take that love away from me. It came down to the point where I got so like numb to just the constant hate that it didn't bother me anymore. So for me personally, 2019 is the best year. I mean, Battlefront 2, the game was thriving for half the year until EA shut it down because, you know, I don't know, actually. It doesn't make sense. But yeah, no, I mean, like, 2019 by far was the best year. Everything was working for me personally.
Not a question from people, but I would say for me, 2016 would be one of my favorite recent memory years because we were all – I remember leaving The Force Awakens being like, okay, I really dislike a lot of the choices in terms of, like, I didn't like Luke being gone and I don't like basically kind of copying A New Hope, but I didn't mind it either. So I was like, all right, Star Wars is back. And I was really excited to see Episode 8. Rogue One was surprisingly really good. And just in general, like it was kind of a fun and hyped time to be a Star Wars fan because we had so much stuff and like prospects for the future. And I think looking back, that is one of my favorite times to be a Star Wars fan. And just kind of remember that lady who had like the Chewbacca face mask went viral.
Yeah.
Like what,
the mom,
like,
the Chewbacca mom.
Yes, that was a very, like, kind of, I mean, 2016 wasn't a great year overall, like, in the world, but for Star Wars, it was kind of, like, a lovable time, because it was very, you know, we were just getting started with Star Wars being back, and, like, new to this new groove, but, yeah, that's one of my favorite years.
It feels like the, like, 2016 and 2017 was, like, the Roaring Twenties, and then 2018 was, like, the Great Depression. Just, like, a really fun time, and then just huge downturn.
Pretty much. Don't forget, guys, we'll get to your questions in the live chat in a little bit. We're going to get through a few more on the community tab for me, so leave them in the chat if you want to have them answered. But one of these questions says, it's from Dan Rowe. It says, what are your opinions on the recent Obi-Wan Kenobi rumors/leaks? Have you guys heard about any of these?
I have kind of stayed away from them just a little bit. I mean, okay, I want to get into them, but I'm...
I was going to say, if y'all want to talk about them, we can spoil it. If not, we can move on. I'm completely fine moving on.
How reliable are these? Because that's where it gets me, is how reliable are these sources?
Well, so I tend to believe... Making Star Wars... Jason Ward, a friend of the show, is pretty credible. And he... I mean, I told you guys some of the stuff that... what's his name? Adam Frazier, and even a couple other people, and then one other like independent source who I knew worked on Kenobi. They all like kind of verified stuff, but I'm not scooping shit because I don't know shit. And Kenobi
give it to me, then I'll put it on my channel.
Pretty much. But I told you guys about like the whole like Leia plot thing, and then like a week or two later that came out, and that stuff apparently has kind of been in the known, and even Cinelink's Jordan Mason reported it, I think like last year, about her being a big deal. So I think that's the big leaks that are kind of coming out. One of them said that Darth Vader and Kenobi would fight two times, which is interesting. Sure.
I gotta say Vision probably. I want to say one of those has got to be a Vision and a flashback to I'd love to
those
see a PTSD moment with him. I think if you're gonna have Kenobi fight Vader, fine. But I think the core of the show, like that the fans take away, should be his growth as a character and what he dealt with. And you need to feel that. So I think I really hope there's a flashback on what he dealt with Mustafar leaving Anakin burning up in the lava. I watched Revenge of the Sith like yesterday, 2 days ago. Pretty solid film, not gonna lie.
Yeah, we talked about doing like Chatooine shows where we just review one of the movies each episode. So we'll start doing that pretty soon. Fan of the show, X-Halt, he commented, which Star Wars comics have each of you guys read? I've read I'm not gonna say a lot. I'm not as much as a lot of people have. I would say kind of when I hit to that earlier, but like back in 2016. 2017, 2015, like those were good times for me to be in the Star Wars. So I remember reading the new, I think it was like the Marvel series. I don't even know how comic book runs entirely work. I know Lunk would probably know more about that than I would, but they started a new Marvel line with Star Wars. And I remember like reading that for a little bit, the Darth Vader one for a while. I remember there was that one guy, he like a lot of Imperial stuff and the Emperor, like kind of having him fight the Inquisitors and other Force users, Dr. Aphra. Like I remember the beginning of a lot of this stuff. And I definitely remember like the last Dark Horse series that had Darth Maul that covered what happened to him after Palpatine captured him, because, you know, Clone Wars was canceled. We didn't really know what was going to happen next. So I've read some of those things recently. It's been a while. I don't think I've read a Star Wars comic in a few years. So th- those are the ones that I can remember reading. I think the last Legends one I read was like the Old Republic with this, I can't remember his name, like it's like Jace or something like that, and he's got this yellow lightsaber, and like he sees like his Jedi Council members or something like that, kill. Yeah, it's a unique expanded universe, unique time to be Star Wars fans. But I'm not that into the comic books. What about you, Longa?
You know, even me being the comic book guy, I got to be honest with you. I mean, because the Star Wars comics didn't really start getting traction until their 90s. So I wasn't a kid anymore. I was a young adult already at that point. And the comic books that were coming out back in the 90s were very kiddish, I guess, almost like bordering on how Clone Wars is, or at worst, you know, Bad Batch. You know, it just seemed like, and I didn't have much interest in the stories back then, so I didn't really read any of the old stuff. I started getting a few recently. I was reading on some of the Darth Vader comic books, which are done pretty well. And the High Republic, because this is a whole new era. It's a whole new realm. So I'm like, you know what? I want to read these. So I've been getting the High Republic ones and reading those. So the last one, if you want to say the last one I read, it's the High Republic ones. The mainline High Republic, not the, because I think they have a kid line too for comic books.
The Star Wars Adventures is the kid one.
Yeah. Not the Star Wars Adventures, just the regular mainline High Republic ones, which are actually pretty well written, and stuff like that. So I've been reading those, and like I said, prior to that was some of the Darth Vader comics. I've not picked up a copy and read them, but I've watched videos on like the Kylo comics and stuff like that. So I haven't actually got the books and read them, but I've watched video recaps and reviews of the issues for those.
For me, the only ones I've really read are the Rise of Kylo Ren comic series, which I've thoroughly enjoyed. There's one that I really don't like. It was cool at first, but the more I thought about it, I'm like, oh, that kind of messes everything up. Is the I think it may have been the most recent one, or like the second to most recent one, which is where Vader actually goes to Exegol. I'm like, well, there's a big plot hole there, so I really don't like that idea where Vader knew about Exegol and Palpatine's contingency plan and all that. But yeah, I think for me, the Rise of Kylo Ren are really the only comic books that I really got into, and I thoroughly enjoyed them for the most part. But other than that, when I was a kid and stuff, I never read the comics. My main source of Legends content, the EU content, was through video games and some books as well. I just never really got... I never really had any place to buy the comics anyway, so I just didn't get them.
No interest in the comics. I have a few like right back there. I read some of them, but none of them I really cared for. This was another thing that 2018, or you can say The Last Jedi, kind of ruined. I don't know if it was specifically because of The Last Jedi or just the fandom as a whole, but it seemed like beforehand people were reading like every books, all the comics, like, dude, this is canon, you gotta read this new book. Like, I was excited for these new books to come out, and then afterwards people just didn't seem to care as much anymore about the canon as a whole. So maybe I guess people thought that
because they made their own canon. Because they're like, I'm ignoring this stuff. It's not canon.
People thought that the books maybe leave hints like Last Jedi, and then no, didn't. So like that.
Yeah.
I have some of them. That was kind of like, I probably won't buy anymore.
It's funny about Palpatine. You remind me. I do remember reading like the Rise of Kylo Ren comics and like Snoke's like kind of introduction, weird face in those, and some of the other newer things. But yeah, I don't know why I forget reading those. I think it's because they're not that memorable, probably. But like in general, I'm kind of shocked that I even read those back then, because I agree with Goldman. Like the comic book hype really died out, and the book hype died out pretty much right after The Last Jedi came out, because I remember leading into like The Force Awakens, there was a lot of interest in like The Journey to a Force Awakens books and novels. They were short, but they were pretty good. This next question is, what are your thoughts on phase two of the High Republic era? Have you guys heard about that? The next phase two is going to be 150 years before phase one. So like, I mean, they're doing it in waves, but like me and Longa, we've read the first three books, right? You read The Rising Storm?
Yeah.
Okay, well, not Rising Storm. What's the Fallen Stars most recent one? Have you finished that one yet? Okay, so
there was three. There was there was three of them. Yeah, I read all three of them. I forget the names, but the Rising Storm I thought was the last one. Isn't it the last one?
No. The most recent one's the Fallen Star. It concludes like the phase one of that entire era.
Fallen Star. Now I gotta look. Did I read that one?
Yeah,
I read three books. I swear I did.
But did you read one of the YA novels? There's three Del Rey ones.
Yeah, but anyways, like me and Longa can definitely make videos talking about the High Republic Phase 1 in our thoughts, but Phase 2 is supposed to be 150 years before, and I'm kind of excited about that. It's going to be – I'm not a fan of the Fallen Star, and I do not like the way it ended, and I'm curious on what's going to happen with the Nile and everything, but overall, I am really
Sorry to interrupt you. Yeah, no, I haven't read it. That just came out last month.
Yeah, catch up on it. I think you. Yeah.
I have Audible credits.
Well, since you're an author, I'm also really curious on like what you're going to say about the way Claudia Gray did that book, because I just was not a fan. But still, High Republic I've enjoyed so far. I wish I enjoyed it a little bit more to like read the comics or read some of the other books. I've read Into the Dark and it was mid, and then I want to read like I think Midnight Horizon, and there's another one coming out. I think it's from Daniel Jose Older and Comac and Wreath are working together again, and I'm excited about that. So there's definitely parts of it I want to read. I just haven't yet. And so I'm not that excited for Phase 2 just because it is 150 years before, and I'm scared that it's not going to be that interesting. Did you already get it?
Purchased. Like,
it is purchased. I have Audible credits, so yeah.
Sorry, what's the strategy behind like telling the story 250 years prior?
Just focusing on like certain Jedi that they haven't – I guess expanded on, or like hints at Jedi that they already like. There's one Jedi called, you know what? I'm not even gonna pretend like I know his name, but there's one Jedi who's significantly older, and this will cover him at like a younger age. Yarl Poof, I think, is like really old, and he's alive during this time, and so does Yoda. So I guess it's just kind of like what set up the High Republic era. Maybe like they hadn't. Maybe Phase 2 isn't. I don't know if it is in the High Republic era technically, like if it's like the prelude to it, but still, like, it's kind of cool to go a further back in time for Star Wars. I think that's what I'm most interested in seeing the Jedi of that time era. But I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm kind of confused because I, from reading these books so far, I haven't seen anything. Like, a lot of times they'll leave nuggets of like, oh, there's some stuff that happened in the past that's going to be important for what you're looking at right now. And I didn't get that feel from this. So I don't know how it's going to connect thematically, or, you know, if it's going to play into it. Just having the characters, a character or two still be around at that time isn't going to really make a big difference for me. I don't know. I'd have to see. I hope there's some kind of tie-in to the current series, you know, that important stuff that happened 150 years prior.
Agreed. I'm sure it will, but I don't know enough to give like a firm opinion on it. If you guys want, we can move on to the next question, unless Palp means you got anything to say about.
Yeah, no, I still have yet to get really into it.
That's fine. This next question is, how likely do you think it is that Tales of the Jedi will be revealed at Celebration, and do you think it will be Old Republic or not? I would say I think it's going to be that High Republic show that we kind of talked about in the last episode of, like, John Watts is rumored to direct it. It apparently is filming in June. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, Lucasfilm at Celebration was like, hey, we're making a High Republic show based around kids, and it's called Tales of the Jedi. Like, sounds accurate to me.
It's that kid-centric part that worries me to a ton. Because, again, this is going to be the first live-action, really mass introduction to the High Republic era. If you look at the track record of kids in Star Wars, hasn't been all that good. You can say because it was written badly, whatever. I don't know. I get worried about that part, but yeah, I think that's probably it. I know a lot of people, including myself, were hoping that'd be like about like Luke's Academy, and like each episode would go to a different Jedi with him and blah, blah, blah. But I think there's a decent chance because it's obviously a project at Lucasfilm. It's a big project at Lucasfilm. Do you guys think it's going to be, if it's not the High Republic show, do you guys think it's going to be an animated show?
I'm more inclined to believe it's potentially animated. Because, and this could be completely irrelevant. This could be completely irrelevant, but on the box, you know how the image or the logo Tales of the Jedi leaked from my box that like Lucasfilm employees got over the winter? Like on that side of the box that you see Tales of the Jedi, it's next to Visions and the Bad Batch, which are also animated. But it's also Willow's on there. Isn't Willow not a animated movie?
Is no, it? It's going to be live action.
Willow was live action.
So maybe my point
Val is... Val Kilmer was in Willow.
So yeah. Maybe my point is rendered mute then, but I don't know. I have no clue what the show is going to be. I genuinely don't know. It could be animated. It could be live action. It could be that kid thing. It could be something in the Old Republic. It could be anything. I really don't know.
That's a good point. We can predict and speculate all day, but you're exactly right, Goldman. We have the only lead we have is the actual Tales of the Jedi story from the Old Republic days in that comic line and the book line. So that's what leads me to believe that maybe this is the start of some Old Republic stuff, but
the thing
there's
the,
I don't know.
The thing that is interesting about that is it does have relatively close to the same logo as the original Tales of the Jedi. Like Tales of the Jedi. So I don't know if that's just a coincidence.
That's like the only lead we have. So I don't know. I'm Tales of the Jedi. I don't know. It's hard to say, but I think with that lead, we can speculate on Old Republic.
We'll definitely find out in Celebration, though, pretty much.
Yeah, agreed. Unless it's canceled.
But we only got two questions left on the community tab, and we'll get to you guys on the live chat. And this first one is kind of interesting. It says, what are your thoughts on George's ideas for the sequels? Do you think it would be better received than the current trilogy, or do you think it would be the same as of now? I don't think it would be received as poorly as the new trilogy, because I feel like the new trilogy was like kind of controversial in a way. I think George's trilogy may have been a letdown, but I think after the prequels, it would be a softer like letdown. I think it would be nice to have that kind of closure, because I do think there is something to say that it is his story. Like, even if, as someone who doesn't really like the prequels and thought he kind of took Star Wars in a bit of a wrong and weird direction with them and just anything after that, I think him doing the midichlorians and the microbiotic universe with the Wills, that stuff I was very interested in finding out a little bit more about, and just his overall thoughts of like how the story would really end with Star Wars. And this is stuff I really didn't like about the sequels and just any recent Star Wars stuff, not expanding on like a little bit more about either the Sith or the lore and the mythos and like the Force as a whole concept. I would have liked that explored a little bit more, and I think his trilogy would have done it. So while it would have been satisfying in some way, I think for the most part, it would still be a bit of a letdown, a little bit kind of weird in a way.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. It would have been a letdown. I think a lot of Star Wars fans would have been like, we went out with a whimper. You know what I mean? That's what I think. I feel they would, but it would have been more generally accepted because it was still Lucas doing it. So there will be some debate. Oh man, that was not as good as I thought it was going to be. You know, kind of stuff like that. But there wasn't going to be this you know outrage that, because it's easy to have the outrage when you can say that's because George wasn't there. You know, it's easy to point to that. You know, that at least if George did it, we would have. Even if we weren't so happy, we wouldn't have been disgusted. Let's put it that way. That's the argument with that. So I think it would have been more generally well accepted if George did them, even if it was ultimately probably kind of a letdown. And the microbiotic thing was kind of interesting to think about, but if it was like three movies of that, it's like people hated midichlorians to begin with.
And that was just like one sentence.
He said people weren't going to like the sequels either, his versions of them. So he said they would have reacted like they did to the Phantom Menace. So he expected it that time.
It wouldn't have been as vitriolic. You had a small segment like people versus George Lucas, but it would have been it wouldn't have been this huge, massive outcry that we saw.
I think I can agree and disagree with your point, Lunga, because like on the part that I agree, yes, you don't have that kind of back burner that, oh, well, it's not even Lucas's story, blah, 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 this is why it's bad, you know, you see that all the time. But at the same time, most of the Star Wars content that was coming out amongst that, like if we just look at like content-wise, not like movie-wise, it like most of it wasn't being made by George Lucas. So I don't know. I feel like people just use that as a crutch to hate, and yet they love like the expanded universe, they love Mandalorian. So it's hard to say. I think naturally, yes, there's going to be a lot of controversy no matter what he did because he made the prequels. But you also got to remember, we also have that prequel generation that's growing up. And they would have been, well, what they are now with about the same timeline as the sequels release date. So it would have been softer. I think you would have had a more hardcore, dedicated fan base to those. And I hate to say it, but I feel like people would love it no matter if they are good or bad simply because it's George Lucas. I think there's, you know, you know, I'm not saying that's the only reason you would like it, but his ideas were weird. His ideas were all over the place. He had like four or five different drafts that we know of. It goes in the microbiotic world of the midichlorians and all that. Then you've got the stuff with Darth Talon. You've even got an entire section where Leia is the true chosen one and stuff. And people call back to that line in Revenge of the Sith where Yoda or Mace, when someone says a prophecy misread, it could have been. And so I think, yes, it would have been controversial. But it wouldn't have been as controversial.
Or Empire. There is another.
Yeah, literally. So I think, yes, the controversy would be there because it's clear. I mean, it's clear that George, I love the prequels, but his writing, his directing, it's just simply, it's just not there. It's just not all there. If he had help with them, I feel like they would have been fantastic. Same with the prequels. But he clearly lost a lot of I don't know what's the word I'm looking for. I don't want to say talent because he's his best when he has ideas and people bring him to fruition. So if it was him alone doing them, yeah, for sure. But if he had help on them, no, I don't think.
Yeah, that's another question. What do you guys think? Do you think if he actually got to make them, do you think he would do like prequels where he was directing it, or would he hire directors?
No, he wouldn't direct it. But anyway, I want to answer the main question first. So yeah. I think that I don't think it would be as controversial or as hated as these sequels, because the expectations for these new sequels were so high, and The Force Awakens mostly met them, and The Last Jedi completely let a lot of people down. So that's why they're so hated. And people forget, because you know there's a lot of revisionist history out there that's very anti-sequels, that the sentiment going into The Force Awakens was, this isn't George Lucas's Star Wars. We have a reason to be excited. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember people reacting to the trailers and be like, oh, you can tell this is not George Lucas's poor directing or his wooden dialogue. So simply the notion that George Lucas would still be making these films and that they would probably feel still radically different than the original trilogy would turn off a lot of, I guess, casual viewers. I'm not going to say it wouldn't be popular, because I guarantee you Lucas still would have marketed that Han, Luke, and Leia were returning. I don't think his episode 7 would have been as big as The Force Awakens. So I don't think there would be as much of a backlash to them as there was with our sequels.
That's a good point, because I remember going back like a year ago and going to like the Force Awakens promotional videos and stuff, the comments on there. I mean, if you want to see how people view George Lucas, just go to those videos and read the comments for anyone in denial about how hated he was. It was just as bad as the sequel hate. It's interesting going back to those and seeing how, oh my gosh, finally good writing, good directing. Oh my gosh, this actually looks good. This looks exciting. And it's not the prequels. So it's interesting how we literally have done a 180 in the fandom.
And the marketing for the prequels, for the sequels, or for the Force Awakens too, was very anti-prequels. They never said it, but they're like, in all the interviews, like J.J. Abrams was like, we want this to feel like episodes 4, 5, and 6. We want to use practical effects. You know, all these things that they never straight up said it, but were very anti-prequels. And I think a lot of the fans dug that.
Were the main criticisms of the prequels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That they used CGI. Mark Hamill
literally said, real sets, practical effects. He's like, nothing's changed, but everything's changed. And that's what you want, really. It made no sense.
Well, look at how Ewan McGregor's talked about Kenobi, how he's like, oh, it's so great to have an actual environment around you and have a director helping you. I'm like, oh, that's a shot at George Lucas, isn't it? You know, no one wants to talk. People try to keep that hidden. Like, no, this is like, yeah, there was issues back then with the actors and stuff. So it's interesting even now, like this is like a year ago when Ewan McGregor was interviewed about this stuff. And yeah, he kind of took a shot at George a few times.
Yeah. And as far as everything else, even the Disney thing, I know, we know where how the fandom is nowadays, right? Because of Disney and this and that. But Star Wars only mentions a bunch of times. Guys, man, that year leading up to The Force Awakens, Star Wars fans all over were so fucking excited. Everyone was excited. Everyone couldn't wait to see we're getting a new Star Wars movie. People were so fucking happy. And even after it came out, while some people were like, okay. There weren't generally that many people that were like, fuck this shit. You know, it was just like, it was still a good feel at that time.
Well, it's a well-made film. I mean, simple as that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It's a unique time to look back on, but Lucas, as much as I love him, his reaction to like any criticism would have been unique as well. But I think he would have had different people like kind of write and direct it. And he would have had a, Bob Iger kind of role in those films. But let's get to you guys in the live stream. Sorry for the delay. This one says, independently, how do you feel? Love it or hate it, do you think Lucasfilm will continue Rey and Finn's story within the next 5 to 10 years? You say love it or hate it, so I'm just going to give you a yes or no answer. I do think they will continue it. What do you think, Lunga?
Should we go back to Living Color? Hated it! No. I mean, I don't hate Rey and Finn on the surface as characters if they do them better. Let's put it that way. I don't hate the characters. I would like to see what they could do with them and maybe fix some of the mistakes I feel they made with those characters. But I mean, didn't we have a whole debate about this, about continuing the story with Rey? We had a whole debate last episode about this. But yeah, I mean, again, to me, depending on what they're doing. If it's a Jedi Academy thing, you need to work with Luke first before you.
The question is, do you think they will do it? Not if you would like it or not, and how it should be done.
Yeah, I'm
okay. Yeah. I don't know. You all right? it seems like you're saying, oh, they need to do this first. That's like.
No. I'm giving my caveat before I get to that. I don't think it's going to be soon, but I don't see that this is their character, right? This is Disney's characters. This is their characters that they made. I don't see them abandoning them. And just the fact that you see them, even though it's Lego and it's kid stuff, the fact that you see them in Lego and stuff, they're not giving up on these characters. We're going to see them. It's going to happen at some point.
2024, that's my number. I'm sitting firm on that number. 2024, I guarantee we'll either have an announcement or the show's gonna come out. for sure. Like you said, Lunga, these are Disney's characters. Let's also remember this is Kathleen Kennedy's characters. This is her legacy. I know we've talked about, we think that Indiana Jones will be her last film. I think she's gonna go out on the legacy of the Jedi, whatever the show will be called. I really think that that's going to be her final project at Lucasfilm, and she's going to send it off that way. And then she'll retire, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, no, 100%. And this is Disney. Like, look at Marvel. They're bringing back everyone. They're Disney and Lucasfilm. They've got a story to tell. Then we have all these reports, and we've had reports for many times. Daisy Ridley, she had a meeting with Kathleen Kennedy. Breakfast, yeah, a few months ago. It's happened. It's going to happen. I hope I don't jinx it because it's a story I really want to see. But for those who don't want it to happen, just mentally prepare yourself because, like you said, Lunga, they're not letting these characters go.
No, yeah. Hell no.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll come back. I'm sorry, but you could never convince me. Unless the actors straight up don't want to do it, which I find highly unlikely, that if Hayden Christensen is coming back to playing Anakin Skywalker and people are excited about it, there is nothing you can say to convince me that the same wouldn't happen for the sequel characters. Because, again, revisionist history says otherwise, but the prequels were hated, especially Hayden Christensen, man. He got so much backlash. So much
career.
So
now he's much. Like this. Now he's like the chosen one, right?
In a way, he's like the Andrew Garfield of Star Wars. Granted, people didn't hate Andrew Garfield himself, but there's a sense of sympathy. They were like, oh, Andrew Garfield didn't really have the best movies. I want him to do great. It's kind of like the same thing with Anakin now, except people love him and the actor. So it's like, yes, we really want him back now. We want to see him with a director that knows how to write dialogue really well. So
I want to hear Hayden do a Andrew Garfield and say, where were you guys 20 years ago? Where were you fuckers 20 years ago?
I want to bounce off Goldman's point about the actors coming back. Well, we know for sure John said he'd come back if it's with Kathy and the old crew and maybe JJ.
JJ's not coming back. There's no way he's ever coming back.
I don't know. There's been rumors that JJ could produce something. I don't know.
He's
at
HBO Max. Dude, yeah, he has exclusive
rights. That stuff. Man. I'm not saying it's going to happen.
That Bad Robot and Lucasfilm do not have a good relationship anymore.
Yeah. I mean, Daisy said she'd love to come back as well. So I know Oscar's kind of a meme. I don't know. I don't know what they would do with his character, but I don't care. I don't really care for Poe that much. I like Finn and Rey a lot more. But yeah, remember about the actors. They're willing to come back, and that's money in Disney's pocket.
I think what would convince John Boyega is if it's like, here's your own Disney Plus series, you're in charge, your production company is in charge, go. I think that would convince him. It might take
a while. I don't even know if it'd take that. I feel like it'd just take if Daisy's on board, you're in.
I don't know.
He made that pretty clear. He said as long as he said if the story's right and it's with the old crew and Kathleen Kennedy.
But I've seen that interview. That was like a very, you know, like happy interview. And then since then he came out with like the, you know, the black comments about Disney. And how he felt that they focused too much on Rey and Adam, or Rey and Kylo, and not him.
Yeah, it was.
He still had thoughts. I think, but he did smooth it over.
I agree. I hope he returns. I'm just not as optimistic that it'll happen soon for Finn.
You give him the right money, or better yet, you know he's got his own production company.
Exactly.
Right? If you let him, if he comes in and you're like, you know what, Kathleen's like, you know what, John. We'll let you executive produce the Finn series.
Especially, you know what's gonna happen? John's gonna be talking to his boy. John's gonna be talking to his boy Oscar, and Oscar's gonna be like, "Yo, John, having your own Disney Plus show, it's actually a lot of fun." And John's like, "Okay, I'll do it for Finn." So,
yeah.
Let him executive produce. He'll be in charge of it. He can make Finn the way he wants to, the way he thinks they messed up with him. He'll get extra money for the executive producer credit.
I don't think they'd give him that much. I think they'd give him the executive producer credit just to shut him up. just to shut him up. This one is everyone's
favorite. He does have a production company, and it's actually doing pretty well. So,
I don't doubt it. He's definitely successful. He's a good business guy. He's got a good mind on him. He knows how to work the crowd, if you will. But this question is everyone's favorite background / obscure Star Wars character. I'm gonna say Doug.
It's in the background of Goldman, literally.
Okay, we got it there.
Oh yeah, not surprised.
Need we say more? I'm personally gonna say Quinlan Voss. I think Quinlan Voss is like kind of funny how he went from like just this random guy with like yellow tape on his nose and the Phantom Menace to literally being the like cool hippie Jedi that we see. So that's my personal pick for an obscure character, or maybe even George Lucas, his little cameo as the governor or whatever. Oh, that was funny.
Can you repeat the question?
Everyone's favorite background / obscure Star Wars
character. Oh, okay. Yeah. This guy right here.
Yeah, the penis. We got you. mine, you know, there's so many. There's so many. I used to always love Salacious Crumb. I thought he was. Oh. You got me? I think I froze up.
Yeah, you're frozen.
Yep.
Yeah, you look frozen, but I heard you for a second. Salacious Crumb is a pretty funny one, though.
I would agree.
You want me to go ahead until he gets it fixed?
Oh, of course. Yeah, do what you want.
I'll do you one better. Goldman.
Oh, not the Porg.
Boo.
That's not a background character. My favorite, and this will continue to be for the rest of time, for as long as the universe exists, Jean's guy from The Mandalorian.
Oh. He's gone now.
That is my
favorite. Doesn't exist anymore.
I love that. It was canon at one point. either Jean's guy. Dexter Jester is not a background character, is he? Because Dexter is just some, like... Yeah, he can't be a background character because he has an actual role.
Unfortunately, Longa froze up.
It's like Longa's just like Longa's stuck gone. Like this.
All right. See okay, Longa. Yeah, Jean's guy's my answer. Or a Porg, I don't know.
All right, this one is, what is your guys' favorite Star Wars EU/Legends book? This is a hard one for me. Darth Plagueis and the first Darth Bane novel. I mean, I'm a sucker for Sith lore. I'm a sucker for any like of these Sith story. And I mean, Darth Plagueis, that one's a very rich one, because I love that it's pre the Phantom Menace. I love that it's dealing with him learning about, like, he's kind of like a scholar more than anything. He's a scientist who has happened to be a Sith Lord, and what he does with the midichlorians is kind of interesting, and his view on the rule of two and how he trained and raised Palpatine. Like, it's a very good story, but there's something to that Darth Bane novel, the very first one. I don't even think I remember. I think it's
Path of Destruction.
Path of Destruction, yes. I was going to say Rule 2. I was like, but I think that's the second or third one. But yeah, Path of Destruction, that is an amazing, amazing Star Wars book. I know people are going to say probably like Heir to the Empire, maybe the best one. It's a great story for sure. But for me, like in terms of what had me pay, when you sit a book down and you just kind of sit there and think about it. And I remember like actually feeling a little bit of fear when like the thought bomb went off in the end of the book. I just absolutely love that. So my favorite one of all time is definitely the Path of Destruction novel, the first one in the Darth Bane trilogy. What about you, Palpmemes?
For me, it's the Revenge of the Sith novel. I really love that book. It adds so much more to the movie rewatching it. There's so many little details that who wrote that? Matthew Stover put in there that just little things like whenever Anakin crashes the big
the invisible hand.
Separatist, yeah, the invisible hand on Coruscant when he knocks that tower down because he crashes it. There's a big, there's like a paragraph where he basically talks about Anakin's emotions in that and how he was just freaking out, like, what if he killed people? What if Padme was there? What's going to happen? Because we know Padme was around there. So there's like so many little details and stuff. So when I rewatch Revenge of the Sith, those details pop back in my mind as the scenes happen. And so it's just made me appreciate the film a lot more and make it a lot more enjoyable. So yeah, Revenge of the Sith.
See, for me, I've only read 4 EU books, the Heir to the Empire trilogy and Shadows of the Empire. And I like Shadows of the Empire a lot, especially with Prince Xizor. That was a really cool character. So I'm going to go with that one, only because I haven't read much. So I can't say
Darth Plagueis or... I haven't read a lot.
I've even read the prequel novelizations.
I didn't realize I had fake fans on this fucking show. What is this? Whoa. You guys haven't read the Expanding Universe. Come on.
I'm telling you, man, my source of EU is video games. I don't know. I've read some books, but video games were my source of the EU stories. Dude,
I didn't become a reader until like 2016.
What the hell, man? There were so many books like Star Wars wise, even if it's not the EU. I remember I bought Pablo Hidalgo's The Essential Companion Guide to the Expanded Universe. Like I learned so much from that alone. It's a cool one. Next one, I think we already talked about this. What do we think the Tales of the Jedi project is? So we can move on to the next one. Chatwin, do you think the current direction of Star Wars makes the galaxy feel small? Like we see the same people in a galaxy filled with trillions of people. I understand what you mean. I think the way you're like the last sentence I disagree with, having the same people in the galaxy filled with trillions of people, I don't really mind. You need people to focus on for sure. I think the timeline that we have been exploring, and maybe I am agreeing with you, I do think having like an Ahsoka Tano series set after The Mandalorian or during The Mandalorian, and you have so many spinoff series from that, like the Book of Boba Fett and potentially Rangers of the New Republic, and then Bad Batch is kind of a spinoff of Clone Wars. Rebels is a spinoff of Clone Wars. And these all kind of tie in together in these weird ways. And it's all within like a 100-year time frame. We've been milking that for a while. We've mainly been milking that 19-year gap between episodes 3 and 4. So I do feel like that can feel like it does make the galaxy feel small. For me, when what happens with the sequel trilogy kind of makes it feel smaller as well. The High Republic adds a little bit to it, but I think when it comes to expanding Star Wars to make it not feel small, I need more on either the size of the galaxy, kind of like we've done with the Chiss and the Unknown Regions, that makes it not feel so small anymore, but mainly the timeline, like learning more about the Sith history, learning more about the Jedi, how all this started, the history of a lot of these cultures and civilizations and lost civilizations like the Zepho. That stuff makes it, in my opinion, more full and more manageable. But what about you guys?
I'm gonna go with like kind of, I'm gonna have a similar answer to you only. I'm gonna go with like a yes and no. Yes, in terms of timelines, they really need to branch out to more timelines, which is why I'm like really excited for The Acolyte and hopefully some High Republic live action stuff and hopefully some Old Republic stuff. And again, hopefully some post episode 9 stuff, really branch that out a lot more. In terms of the same characters showing up, no, simply because it's not like Ahsoka Tano just happened to run into Din Djarin. It's not like Luke Skywalker just so happened to want to go help these people he saw run into into Moff Gideon's Star Cruiser. The stories are written in Mandalorian Season 2, I'll give the big example. The story was written very specifically to where, like, this character points Din Djarin specifically to the location of the next character he needs to get to for him to reach the Jedi. And then Ahsoka, of course, leads him to the Seeing Stone, which obviously Baby Yoda reached out to Luke. So, like, when it comes to that, no, I definitely don't think so, because the story is specifically guiding that character to these characters in a pretty smart way. If it happened to be, like, say, like, in Rogue One, whenever those the gangsters from A New Hope show up, yeah, that
Han
definitely
Baba and Dr. Evazan.
Yeah, that makes it feel small. I don't like that kind of thing. Unless, you know, because it's like, okay, they just so happened to be on, I think it was Jedha. So with that case, yes, but, like, overall, no. Except for the timeline, like only said, just they need to branch out to the timeline more and expand upon it in live action settings.
I'll go. No, I don't think it makes you feel smaller.
Simple.
I don't know. I just like I don't have a reason. I guess the characters. I guess like I mean it doesn't. There's a few instances where it feels forced, but if you look at every time there's a cameo, especially the Mandalorian. Like, it kind of makes sense why they would show up. Even Boba Fett, who I hate, it's like, oh, at least he was on Tatooine, and that's how Boba saw him. So, that's kind of my answer.
Longa, since you're back, we'll...
I'm reading it now. Does the current direction make it feel small? Like, we see the same people in the galaxy filled with trillions of people. I mean, the current direction? It's kind of how it always been. We haven't really... I mean, I think we've gone to more places than we used to. You know what I mean? I do have an issue with the constant Tatooine being like everything. We always got to be on Tatooine. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a Tatooine problem in Star Wars. There is. But no, we've gone to a lot of places. I'll say the prequels did introduce us to new planets that we didn't see before. And I think with now, especially Mandalorian stuff, we're seeing a lot of new places. Love it or hate it, the sequel trilogy did give us some new planets too.
Look at Exegol. I mean, filled with lore.
That's an interesting one for
look
sure.
Look at that big penis behind Goldman. That's new.
Look
species.
At that. That's different.
There's not a single repeated planet in the sequels besides, I guess, Tatooine, right? I guess Endor doesn't really count.
Yeah, because we never went to
Uninspired is what I look at the sequel ones for. Inspired.
Yeah. I mean, Jakku's basically Tatooine, yeah. But
you've got some cool stuff like Krayt, Kajimi, Exegol. You know, they're there. I think
I would argue Jedha wasn't that different either.
Yeah. Well, at least with Jedha, you had like some Jedi history to it. Just with Exegol, you got all this Sith history. Yeah. So it's.
You know, Star Wars has already done so many different planets. It's pretty hard to be original now, unless you really want some crazy shit.
Yeah. And let's be fair here. We're also, if the Ahsoka series does what everyone thinks it's going to do, we're going to be going to the unknown regions. We're going to be going to a whole new part of the galaxy that we've never really seen it, with the exception of, you know, just stuff in novels and stuff like that. So, you know, there's a lot of expansion I think that can happen.
This next one says, have you guys watched So Uncivilized video of Star Wars anti-trilogy? He makes some great points, like how George has moved on from Star Wars, but Star Wars is still in the past. I haven't watched it.
I've seen it
all. But have you guys? What do you have to say?
I don't even know who that is.
I've seen it. It was a well-made video. The best points he makes are how each of these sequel movies are very anti what came before. Like The Force Awakens was very anti prequels. The Last Jedi was very anti Force Awakens. The Rise of Skywalker was very anti Last Jedi. And in that sense, I agree with him. I agree with him on a lot of his criticisms of The Rise of Skywalker. But I mean, you could guess. I don't agree with his criticisms of The Last Jedi or Force Awakens. So nothing surprising from Last Jedi shill. So
I haven't seen the video, but I feel like I would disagree with his takes on Rise of Skywalker. But hey, I don't know. I haven't seen it yet, so I'm not gonna say that set in stone. I'll have to check it out though. I've seen it pop up. Because it's like blown up, but I just never watched it because it's like 40 minutes long or something.
This is one of the best questions we have. Chatween, if they make a Knights of the Old Republic, who should play Darth Revan and why should it be Larson?
Yes,
man.
Chaos. The amount of money we will all make from the clickbait is insurmountable. I mean, this is why it needs to happen.
Anytime someone mentions Brie Larson, there's like a switch in my brain that's like, okay, it's time to be toxic. And then I just get really excited. So
Goldman's petty, dude. You don't hold back.
So is Star Wars only.
It's true. I try and be a little more fair with it, but if they announce that, like, genuinely, I don't want to say I'd be happy, but I'd be excited because I'm like, oh, this is going to be an entertaining few months or even years if we look at Last Jedi.
I would be excited because I've never played KOTOR, which is, I know, like, really surprising. So I don't have any emotional investment into what Revan is like or what he's supposed to be. I can understand, you know, wanting to be consistent with the games before, but it wouldn't upset me personally, if that makes sense.
But KOTOR lets you choose your gender, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
like I play parts of the games. There's no actual if we're being real, guys. There's no actual canon gender for Revan. Even
it's actually not true.
Before.
In the EU,
is an Italian man. So
in the EU, there is a Revan book, and he is male. Oh, you know what? You know what I did once. Oh, well. I triggered someone on Twitter where they posted a picture of a Revan mask. I'm like, what are you doing with that knockoff Kylo Ren mask?
I love that.
I have my fan casting, and I've always said this since day one. Nikolaj Coster-Waldau.
Jamie Lannister. For anyone who didn't know.
Jamie fucking Lannister. Yeah.
Yep.
What about Keanu Reeves, guy?
I don't want Keanu. I really don't want Keanu. I don't know. It's a little too much for me.
I like him, but I like when Star Wars introduces these new actors and stuff.
I'm a Jedi. No.
That's pretty much it. All right. Next one is, when there has been bad stories/storytelling, should a future Star Wars stories linked to that story, soft retcon that story? You're actually a Palpatine, or try to address and embrace it, i.e. the Clone Wars.
I got a passionate answer to this.
Yes.
I think this is good because didn't I talk about this a little bit with me not liking the way the prequels kind of had to... I feel like the prequels wrote the Jedi in a very poor and bad way, and we had a course correct pretty much after, and I really dislike that. And I think if anything, it should not soft retcon it, but maybe if soft retconning means you're just kind of ignoring it and moving past it, yes. But aside from that, I don't think they should soft retcon it. I think they should try to address and kind of embrace it like the Clone Wars did, but the Clone Wars enhanced it, and it looked at the criticisms and was like, all right, we're going to make this better if we can, and they did. And so that's what I think I would go for.
But they did change a lot of things. They did change a lot in it. Longari.
Hmm?
Oh,
were you not paying attention?
I don't know.
No, I heard they changed a lot of things. They changed a lot of things, and I heard Lunga. What were you?
It's your turn to answer the question.
Yeah.
Oh, it's my turn to answer the question. Put the question back up again. Oh, is this one here?
It's
right?
Up, yeah. It's up.
Oh my god.
Yeah. You were confusing me. I was taking a drink when you went. Let me read again. When there's been bad storytelling, should future Star Wars stories be linked to a story soft retcon story? You're actually Palpatine, or try to address or embrace it. Am I not understanding this question?
Should they ignore it, retcon it, like the bad issues of the sequels or whatever?
No. I am never in favor of retconning. That's nonsense. Stick with what you did. No.
Own up to it. Yeah.
Have the courage of your conviction.
Yeah.
Okay. No. Bad stories happen, dude. It happens in shows. It happens in movies. Anywhere. It's not just Star Wars. This isn't like something unique to Star Wars. You know, it happens, and there's melons. There's stuff that just don't need lemons. There's stuff that just don't work, you know, for some people. I mean, you guys apparently like puckering up with the lemons that are the sequel trilogy, but, you know, no, don't retcon it. Don't retcon it. Do stuff with it. Get someone, you know, saying, you know what? I want to work with this and see what I can do with it and see if I can make people like it. I mean, to me, you know, as someone who writes, that's exciting. You know, it's exciting saying, hey, maybe I can take these characters and make them more likable to more of the fandom than what they currently are. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Retconning to me is a cheap way out.
It's cheap. It ruins the lore. It ruins everything. If anything that comes after that, if it's bad, oh, well, they're just going to retcon it, so ignore it. It's like, no, embrace it. Let's look at the Mandalorian. I mean, it's very clear what Grogu is there for. I mean, his blood is being used as the catalyst for what I would assume is Palpatine's cloned body. We literally even saw the Snoke clones. We heard Snoke's theme play in that scene in The Mandalorian. They're embracing it. They're making it better. You said, Lunga, how about we get a writer who makes, you know, embraces that and says, how can we make this likable? For me, like, because he brought up the Rey Palpatine point, which I actually kind of like her being a Palpatine for plenty of reasons. But I would love an idea if she say she has her Padawans and stuff, have some of them find out where she actually comes from and have some of them actually, like, kind of fear her, like, oh shit, you come from that dude. Have them retaliate against her. Have that be, that could be another arc that she has to get over, you know. There's plenty of ways to make things better without completely deleting them. One issue I kind of have with the Clone Wars show is that Anakin is pretty much completely different than the Anakin in the prequel trilogy. Single other character, that's just an acting.
We've had this debate before.
I will say this.
I agree with you.
There are soft retcons where it doesn't change, like deleting something, pretending it didn't happen. No way.
Okay, fair.
You could, like, just this is just an example. Like, people weren't happy with the Rey Palpatine thing, right? Palpatine was a devious fucker, right? Kylo lied to her. Palpatine could have lied to her. He could have stolen a Kenobi baby and called it his own. You know, I mean, whatever the case is, something.
That's not really a soft retcon. That's a full on. I mean,
no, because it's still taken. It's not erasing what happened.
If Leia it happened, if it's Luke just changing the narrative. He met her. It's not. It's canon though that the second Luke met her and Leia met her, they're like, oh yeah, there's something about this person. They knew something was dark about
something
that
about, but they didn't know what it was. They didn't know what it was.
Dude, Luke straight up said you're Palpatine, and Rey didn't bring it up. So
he literally says in the film, Leia knew it too, but she saw your heart and your spirit. Okay, and some things are stronger than blood. So I don't know about that, Lunga. I say keep her a Palpatine, but
that's not my Luke Skywalker.
It's canon. All
right, well,
it's canon.
Anyways, I have a passionate response. There are very, very few instances of stories within a franchise that are borderline universally disliked. The sequels are not one of them. The prequels are not one of them. Examples I would say are like Justice League. That was pretty much universally disliked. The eighth season of Game of Thrones. Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. But again, there's very few instances where something is widely disliked. Because if you look at, say, like the Snyder films, right? When Batman v Superman came out, that was pretty much hated by a lot of people. But now there's like a cult following and has a lot of fans. And I think, Warner Brothers moving away from the Snyderverse has done more damage to DC going forward than had they stuck with it, if that makes sense. So you don't have to focus everything on the sequels. It's not like everything needs to tie into them or any other aspect of Star Wars that is eventually hated by a lot of people. Just have, you know, the thing that's the beauty about Star Wars. You can tell stories in so many different time periods, and it could be for different people. Like, there's going to be an audience out there for this kid-focused show. It might not be for us. It especially won't be for Lunga, but there'll be an audience out there. And so you can tie things into the sequels, because when you ignore them, then it just becomes very weird, and you're isolating a big portion of the fans. And I think 90%, I would say 80% of people who did not like the sequel trilogy, they're not like, screw this thing, I don't want to ever see anything remotely close to them again. I think most people, and Star Wars Only Lunga, you could probably attest to this, you wouldn't mind if there were other stories out there that made these stories better. They're not going to change your mind about the movies, but maybe to help the universe feel more coherent. Most fans are like that, so I don't think most fans would be opposed. And if it works, say the Mandalorian, the Mandoverse does lead up to The Force Awakens, and it makes the First Order, Snoke, Palpatine stuff more interesting, Kylo Ren more interesting, I think it would be great for the fandom. It'd be much better. So no, you don't retcon things unless it's like really, really bad. Like if they wanted to remake season 8 of Game of Thrones, go ahead. I don't think anyone would be upset.
I think you overestimate the how many people liked The Last Jedi. It's not universally hated, like the examples you gave. I would say it's about 75-25. It's about 75% of the
The Last Jedi. From my experience, especially from people who are just like fans but not like us, most of them, they like The Force Awakens. They're very iffy on The Last Jedi, and then they dislike The Rise of Skywalker. That's
very iffy. That's your assessment.
I actually agree with Goldman on this a little bit. I've met a guy who worked at he opened Hollywood Studios at Disney World. I think it was like in 83 or something like that. He's an old timer, and he's like, I remember seeing the original movies in theater. He said, I think I was like a teenager, like he was old enough to like vividly remember each movie in theaters, and he said he really liked The Last Jedi. He said I don't think he loved it like as much as he did something probably like the original movies, but he said he thought it was a fine movie, and that surprised me as someone who grew up with the original trilogy. So I do think there is for sure more people who largely dislike it than like it, but I think in terms of like the hate it, I think the hate isn't as much as it's more than the people who love it for sure, but I don't think it's like two or three times that size. I think it's probably 75-25. Maybe that is three times. Maybe I'll go fuck myself. Sorry, guys. No, it does suck.
It's hard to
Isn't that what I just said? 75-25?
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. I'll go fuck myself. I literally just repeated what you said.
I agree with Goldman on this. And then at the end, he uses my numbers.
I started thinking about it. I was like, you know what? Lunga's got a point. Like the diehard people, like we who are involved, I think a lot of us don't like it compared to people.
And if you want to talk about universally, this is my hurt Palpatine's, but I think Rise of Skywalker is more universally. Last Jedi is more polarizing, but I think The Rise of Skywalker is more universally disliked than Last Jedi.
I would agree. I don't know, like based on people I've talked to, it's the opposite. And we can look at numbers overall.
Don't forget about the Reylos, your enemies.
They're not that. They're like I wouldn't even say they're a percentage of the overall fandom. But like if we look at the actual numbers, I don't know. Rise of Skywalker does pretty well on metrics scores and stuff. You know, and you can say Last Jedi got berated and all that, but I don't know, in my personal like experience, I'm not saying this is fact, most people I've talked to loved the Rise, like my entire family pretty much loves the Rise of Skywalker, but they are very iffy, as Goldman said, iffy on Last Jedi. So it's hard to say with your own personal viewings, because my experience has obviously been completely opposite from Goldman's. I mean, I've met like two people who are like, I did not like this movie. Everyone else is like,
see, I can't talk to anyone about Star Wars in my real regular life, except my kids.
I live in Oklahoma, so maybe we're just easy going, but
because no one around me, none of my friends, none of my family, no one gives a shit about this stuff. They don't watch this. I'm a child of immigrants, Goldman. Child of immigrants. No one gives a shit about this.
I guess people might, and
the friends when I was a kid that liked this stuff, those were childhood friends. I really don't talk with any of them anymore. Most of my adult friends that I'm friends that I made in my adult life, they don't care.
I will say this, though. almost all the people my age, I would say like 90% of them love Revenge of the Sith. Most of my friends will say like Attack of the Clones and Phantom Menace are pretty awful. Like a lot of them will say the sequels are better than those two, but all of them say that the sequels are nowhere close to Revenge of the Sith, which upsets me. But that's just
that's pretty fair
observation. Yeah,
I mean, it's a generational thing. I mean, like let's be real. Like in 15 years from now, like the kids who grew up with the sequels and stuff are going to be grown up and they're going to have a pretty big impact on the internet. If like social media is even a big deal,
I hope you're right. I think
how can it not be? Like, it's like, look, we've got people like flipping out on how great Andrew Garfield's movies were in Spider-Man. Like, I remember like everyone hated those. And if like,
I hope you're right.
That happening, when you think about it, like, I don't think like, even like you can talk about story issues and stuff in the sequels. I don't think they're really as bad as like the Andrew films and stuff. I don't mind those. I don't like the second one. The first one's okay, but I don't know. I think it's, going on the internet, I've seen so many people who are clearly growing up with these films have such a, they set something that looks a lot better than what it actually is simply because they grew up on it. And it's easier to like something when you're a kid. So you already have a bias against that. I mean, we saw that with the prequels. We've seen that with the Raimi trilogy. We're seeing that now with the
Much trash people love because they were kids. And it's like,
it's simple as that. And look, it's fine because they still love it. You love it. Like, I'm not saying that's bad.
Right.
Like, I love the prequels and I will always say that, you know, I'm not going to
just say that, but don't objectively say they were,
I'm not going to say they're well-made great films movies or anything. Okay? we can agree on that. Like, I'm not going to act like there's some, you know,
Now, what about someone like me who says, I hate the word objectively, but I think The Last Jedi is a well-made film. It's not just something I like.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah, 100%.
Again, we're talking about a film. Yes, it was a well-made film. I have said that. It's beautifully shot. Rian Johnson is great behind the camera. He knows what he's doing with that. I'm not the dialogue wasn't bad, but once I inject my Star Wars fan and what I know of these characters that he's playing with into it, that's when it starts to become a problem for me. Because it's just like you don't do it. And now there's a few objective things it ties into the subjective stuff. We've had this argument. Palpatine has made his video. I've made my video. Goldman's made a video on the whole Luke Skywalker thing. And we all have different views on it. And I still, no matter what, that he broke a character arc and kind of just broke it to make it to what he wanted it to be. And Grumpy Luke's not the problem. It's how he got there that's the problem. So I had a few objective writing reasons that I don't like.
Yeah, respectable.
But as far as being a filmmaker, the movie was beautiful. It was a beautifully shot movie if you're not a Star Wars fan.
What's that mean, Lunga? Throwing out the fake fan, huh?
No. Just saying, if you're not a Star Wars fan, none of that stuff gets into your mind. You can just watch it just as a movie and be, oh, this is nice looking.
I really appreciate that Last Jedi switched things up.
Ooh, we're talking about Last Jedi now? Are we
getting into this? Let's not do that.
Yeah.
We don't have much time left, so I'm trying to scroll through the comments because there's a lot we're just not going to be able to get to. Why are the Jedis so bad at watching over their charges? Obi-Wan, Luke, Luke, Grogu, never going to let them watch over the young.
I have no clue what that question even means.
Yeah, I don't understand. Obi-Wan did protect Luke for 18 years of his life, so I don't know why he was bad at it. Luke
19
was never in danger. At least he didn't know he was in danger for 18 years of his life.
Oh, good question.
I think he did a good job.
What about this one? What are your thoughts on the Chosen One prophecy? Do you love or hate? I will say I hate it. I think it's awful, lazy writing by Lucas, and it absolutely, like, if someone this is a judgmental asshole statement of me. I do not like it when people are like, my favorite character is Anakin Skywalker. Because I'm like, are you serious? Like, the psychotic fucking teen who, like, slaughters women, children. Don't give me that shit. Like, the dude who, like, because he kills his wife, slaughters the entire fucking galaxy, including, like, kids. And like, is a little fucking whiny brat in episode 9. You're telling me that's your favorite character, and you relate to him because, what, you're the fucking chosen one? Like, Harry Potter, like, it's kind of different, and it's, like, it's a constant joke of him being the chosen one, and it's a clear hero's journey thing, and it's kind of, like, forgivable because of the universe and the characters and how much he's not that powerful of a wizard. Anakin is like, I'm the most powerful thing of all fucking time. Fuck Space you, I'm the Jesus, chosen one. Dude. I hate it, but yeah. That's all I had to say.
A chosen one is actually a overused almost the time trope in cliche. Lots of writing and movies. It's everywhere. It's not uncommon. And a lot of people, like my co-host Yellow, he's tired of that shit because he's like, that's what they want to do all the time. I like it. It does intrigue me. I always like the idea of a chosen one, and as long as the story around it as well. Okay. Now, as far as what Star Wars Only is saying about people saying they like Anakin, I can see it in two ways. If you like Anakin, like you can associate with his character, then you're a fucking psychopath. But I, as you know, watching it as a character study, it's interesting to see how does someone like Darth Vader become Darth Vader. You know, so it's okay to like the villain in that aspect. Like, this is an interesting story. How did it get to this point? You know, because he started out as as this little cute kid. Become Space Hitler. You know, it's an interesting arc to watch and see how it develops and how did it happen. And then the tragedy that surrounds it, you can go, oh my. But associating with him and saying, he's my favorite. Yeah, I'm an Anakin. Dude, let's go. Woo. No, bro. Psychopath. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
For me, I'm pretty in the middle for it. I'm fine with the idea. Growing up, I loved it. But then as I got older and actually like thought about it, I'm like, ooh, that doesn't make sense at all. The whole chosen prophecy doesn't make sense. I mean, one, where did this come from? I think the biggest problem with it in the prequels is it's like it's brought up like twice, yet it's such a huge important plot point for Anakin Skywalker. It'd be like them saying, hey, Rey, you're a Palpatine, and not doing anything with it. Not having her overcome that, having her fight Palpatine. Just be like, hey, it exists. Oh, there we go. With the chosen one, it hurts the story ultimately for future stories, because the whole point of the chosen one is that there's balance in the force now. Okay, so does that mean there can never not be balance in the force? What does that mean? It's never explained, at least with the prequels movies themselves. And so that's the biggest problem for me with it, is it's like, if you're gonna have this huge trope for this character, literally how he was born, and not actually give development into it and dive into how it works and what the situation means, that's a huge problem for me. And like Lunga said, it's such a cliche thing to do. Again, I love Anakin Skywalker as a character. I don't relate to him. I'm bad with women, but that's about the only thing I can relate to him on.
Hey, he's not force choking him out.
He got Natalie Portman. Put some respect on
him. That's a good point. but everything else is like, yeah. Right. I'm not saying that makes sense, but yeah, no, it's fine. But like at the same time, I do agree it hurts stories in the long run because
I should say, okay, I don't think I hate the chosen one. I hate the chosen one prophecy. And I've had this thought. People are going to say it's because I'm a sequel fan. I'm trying to find ways to defend it. It's not true. I've hated this way before the sequels came out, right before Palpatine was even a thing in episode 9. When they say that he was meant to destroy the Sith and bring balance to the Force, I'm like, okay, one, you're now you're adding new context to Return of the Jedi's final conclusion that I don't necessarily like. Because it completely handicaps your stories going forward after. It's like, I always wanted not only just a sequel trilogy, but stories after episode 9. It's like, okay, can we have Sith now? Is it impossible for the Sith to ever return after episode 6? Now, especially with, what's it called, episode 9, people are like, oh, it ruins Return of the Jedi's ending because Anakin now didn't fulfill the prophecy. I'm like, Return of the Jedi's ending initially had nothing to do with a chosen one prophecy. It was about Vader turning back to light side and saving his son. But people have always turned it now into, oh no, it's now about him fulfilling the prophecy of destroying the Sith. I just hate that. I hate it so much. And people are now using it as a weapon to attack the sequels. I'm not even a fan of The Rise of Skywalker, but it triggers me so much when people use it to criticize that movie. Is it somewhat fair? Sure. But I'm just like, I hate the Chosen One trope too. It makes it feel like Anakin was destined to destroy Palpatine. He was destined to become a good guy again. I'd just rather be like Anakin was, you know, he made a decision. He turned to the dark side and then he made a decision to turn back to the light side. I don't like how he was destined to do that. Maybe it's just me being a weirdo.
Having dabbled with prophecies and having written a book that revolves around a prophecy and stuff like that, the thing about prophecies is just like they said in the movie, perhaps prophecy misread, perhaps, or whatever, however you said it, you know. The thing about prophecies is they're always muddy, and there's always a lot of interpretation that can come out of it. And you even see that in the Master and Apprentice book, and then you see it in these stories and stuff that's going on, to where destroying the Sith doesn't mean they didn't add the word forever.
Exactly.
At the end of it. You know what I mean? So, but that's a prophecy. All it could mean is that he destroys this Sith rule, what is currently happening in his lifetime. That doesn't mean forever or whenever see Sith again, or, you know, I know George has made comments, and this is when George is stupid, because he makes comments on it to make it sound like definitively, nope, that's it. That's just his job. He's always meant to do, destroy the Sith and end of story, blah, 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 which doesn't make sense because I have a treatment for three more movies. Don't, you know, it's like you can't even say it doesn't make sense. You know what I mean?
Does it in his drafts, making Leia.
Yeah. But I think I think the Chosen One prophecy is worse because of George Lucas's comments and interviews. And
I agree with that. About it. Some things are better left unsaid.
Right. If he just said nothing about it and just left it like, it's prophecy, interpret it as you will. You know, I mean, that would have been much better. But George's got to be, you know, he's got to be Mr. Control Everything. Well, no, this is what I thought. I don't give a shit whatever you idiots thought. This is what it was meant to be. If you don't like it, fuck you. You know, I don't know.
I actually agree with that a lot. Last question before we call it a show. Sorry if we didn't get to yours. It's from Jason. It says, who's a director you guys would like to see direct a Star Wars show or a Ryan movie?
Johnson.
He's already done it. Come on.
It doesn't say new director. Fine. New director.
You got to be new. we've already had to deal with him one time. I don't want him again. I want this trilogy still. I want his trilogy. Anyways, I would say James Cameron, surprisingly. I would be really curious on what he could do in Star Wars. And you know what? I'll give it a double up because of Goldman's answer being Rian Johnson, and add a caveat. If it's a director who's already done it, I would love to see Ron Howard also direct another Star Wars movie. I think him getting like a fair shot at it would be one of the smartest decisions they could do for the kind of vibe they're going for with something like Rogue Squadron or just lighthearted, fun adventure, good stuff.
Yeah. I'm going to real quick before we do this, I want to remind everyone, we didn't get a chance to talk about it before I give my take. Guys, the Discord, we have a Discord for Chat Tweet.
Yes.
Go ahead and click the link, join the Discord, be part of the conversations. We're going to be doing a lot of stuff over there, watch parties and all this other good stuff. So if you want to join the Discord, if you're a Discord person, go ahead and click that link, and join it. But as far as, director, Michael Gonzalez said, she took the words right out of my mouth. Denis Villeneuve. I would love to see Denis Villeneuve play with Star Wars. He has a great vision of stuff, and he's just spectacular. Everything he's touched, I think, is so good. The only thing is that it's always got to be something kind of grand. It can't just be like a 2-hour movie. It has to be something grand for it. Existing, like you said, I mean, we got a whole slew of people in the Mandoverse. Bryce, you know, Ron Howard, yes. Bryce Howard, Dallas Howard as well.
Both.
Fuck, put her in there. Chow, I mean, from Miyama. These people are fucking amazing, all of them. And I think any one of them could helm a movie or a trilogy. They already have people kind of built in. But yeah, outside of it, Denis Villeneuve.
For me, it'd be Peter Jackson. I'd really love to see Peter Jackson get a trilogy of The Old Republic. And that's simply because he proved that he can work with pre-existing content and make a trilogy out of it. Lord of the Rings. I would argue it's the most well-made trilogy in cinematic history. I like the OT more, but even with the OT, Return of the Jedi tanks it a lot for me personally. I want Peter Jackson. I think he would do a fantastic job if they do an Old Republic stuff, because like I said, he works really well with pre-established content and he can make something really great out of it.
I'm not sure if this counts as a returning director or not, but I'd want to see Lord and Miller actually make a Star Wars movie.
Actually make it.
Because they've made so many great movies. Like, I don't know many projects of theirs that have actually been bad since, like, they were making Solo. And I still like Solo, but I'm just like, I just want to see their Solo, but we'll never see it. So I'd like to see Lord Miller actually complete a project, but there's no way they'd ever come back. You know, they were screwed once. They're not going to come back. But if we're talking about...
Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you.
If we're talking about people that have already done Star Wars, you know, RJ himself, it's going to happen. In 7 years, we'll get Ron Johnson trilogy.
It's an arbitrary number.
You've got your number on that. I've got my number on the Ryan Finn show.
2020. Okay, what is it? 2022. I'm going to say 2029 is when Ryan Johnson's trilogy will start.
So we got my 2024 placement for Ray and Finn. You got your 2029 for Ryan's. So we'll see.
Yes.
We'll see how this
and
unfolds.
And that's just as feasible as an entire trilogy about Claude.
It's going to happen, dude. It's going to happen. We shall see. They haven't canceled it for a reason.
Yeah, I think it's still going to happen, but I think it's going to happen. Doesn't mean it's actually going to. Before we go, that's all the questions I think we can cover for the day. It's already been a long time, so thank you guys for putting in your questions. Sorry if we didn't get to yours, but we will do – maybe we can do segments like at the end of a show, like 10, 15 minutes of just quick-fire Q&A. But maybe we'll start doing reviews soon. We've been talking about what to do next, so let you guys know that we kind of have plans in the future to use our Discord. I think we're hoping to – maybe watch like some movies with you guys on Discord. I think we can do that, right?
I'm setting it up. I'm getting it. Yeah. Yeah. Me and Lunga have been working on it. So cool stuff. And we also have a cool level system there. So yeah, pretty epic.
Oh, yeah. We'll make it more interactive as a podcast going forward. And like I said, we'll start reviewing every single Star Wars movie and we'll do it in order. So you guys will know pretty much at least for there's 11 of them. So probably 11 episodes of what we'll do will just be that. So if you guys want that, let us know. We'll get on it. Till then, that's all the time we have for today. You guys have any parting words before we leave?
I'm good. I just made my video on the...
But as far as the watch parties in Discord, we were talking about the People versus George Lucas as doing something on that, weren't we?
I would love to do that. Do you guys want that to be next week's topic?
I can watch, yeah.
Where can we watch it? Is it just like on YouTube?
Discord.
We can watch it on Discord. Rent it on YouTube. We can probably stream it, but I mean, I think I own it on my Xbox anyways. I could probably... use the same account to stream it, I think.
Potentially.
That's cool. Yeah, we can settle on that for sure.
All right, so you guys heard it. If you want to watch The People versus George Lucas, we'll set up a time between now and next Wednesday night, and then next Wednesday night we'll review it and give our full thoughts on it. So that is that's your homework assignment. Watch it with us or watch it by yourself, but People versus George Lucas is our topic next week. We'll see you then. Thank you guys for watching Chatooine. Everyone's description, and you know, our links are in the description. You guys know the routine. Chatooine. Simple episode. We're keeping it light here. All right. See you guys next time. Mm-hmm.